This is Digital Story Podcast number 967, October 1st, 2024. Today's theme is Start with Your Bag, Then Work Backwards. I'm Derek Story. It's a law of nature that any horizontal surface in the home must have stuff on it. And so it goes for our camera bags as well. If there's room inside, we will put something there. So if you want to travel lighter, get a smaller bag. I'll explain more, plus other stories, in today's TDS Photography Podcast. I hope you enjoy the show. In just a few hours, I depart for Durango, Colorado, for our early fall workshop. Since I'm making a two-day drive from Northern California instead of flying, I have a little more room for gear than my previous trip to Alaska. But that doesn't mean I want to fill up the car with stuff I don't need. I have things for the workshop, ice chest, refrigerator, water service, food, things like that, plus my suitcase and the gear I need for the road. So my camera bag turns out to be the same size as what I flew with to Vancouver. How do I pack tight and keep it light? Well, it all starts with the bag. And this is something that I learned a long time ago. I'm surprised I haven't really talked about it much, but I actually work in reverse when I'm getting ready for a trip. So I think about, okay, how much walking around am I going to have to do with my gear? Now, an example is when I was in Vancouver, we got off the ship on a return trip early in the morning, because they get you off early because they want to get the ship ready for the next batch of people that come on about midday. So you're off the ship like at 7:30 in the morning. And I had a hotel room there in Vancouver because, well, you know, wanted to spend some time there. We checked our bags at the hotel, and then we spent an entire day hanging around Vancouver. So we went over to the mall, we explored some of the local areas. We even went to a movie and saw Beetlejuice, which was actually pretty good. I think I was just in a, you know, kind of silly movie kind of mode, and Michael Keaton was fantastic, and we both enjoyed that. The thing about it is, though, on this whole day that we're exploring Vancouver, Teresa and I needed to have my gear with me. I am not going to leave my camera and my laptop and all that stuff in a storage closet at a hotel. I just, you know, I'm not to that place comfortable-wise yet. So I knew I was going to have to be walking around with all my gear. Well, that's a kind of a long day, right? It was basically all day going around the mall, going out to eat, going to a movie, all that stuff. And so I needed a bag that didn't get in the way, that wasn't too heavy. I knew that we were going to be doing this along with all the other things from the entire trip. I didn't want my bag to be too big or too heavy because of all the different situations we were going to be in during this trip. That's why I went with the 18.5 liter Lowepro Trekker Light Backpack 150. This is an all-weather backpack. It has a rain cover in addition to it being very water-resistant itself. And it's not very big at all. So I start with the backpack, and then I decide, okay, what gear will fit comfortably in this backpack, and what do I need for this trip? Now, just to give you a little bit more about this Lowepro Trekker Light, not that I'm pushing this backpack at all, but you might be interested in, you know, what I lived with for 10 days up in Alaska and Vancouver, and will be living with for another 10 days as I travel out to Colorado and back. So it has a main opening zipper, and it's a number 10 zipper. It's a big, beefy zipper. I love those. But one of the nice things about it is that the whole compartment, the whole main compartment, is controlled by the zipper. And so I carry a little master lock on there with a little cable. And so if I do need to lock it up, I can lock everything up except for my laptop that goes in the back. But even then, I can get the zippers over because there's a little cable on there. But I like being able to lock it up and have one big main compartment. And then inside, it has a bag within a bag. They actually designed it this way. And it stays secure in the bottom, and you can fit the camera in there. But then it also comes with a neck strap and stuff so that if you want to go out bopping around, then that little bag within a bag comes out and you can go bopping around with it. So it's very cool. It has really nice multifunction accessory straps. It has a lot of handles. It has handles on, I think, three sides. So no matter which way it's stowed somewhere, you have a nice handle to grab it. Has a separate laptop compartment, and it'll hold a MacBook Pro 14.2 inch or smaller. So that's very nice. And I keep that in the laptop compartment in the back there. Chest strap has a very nice mesh water bottle holder on the side so that if you do have some condensation on your water bottle, the mesh lets it air out and it doesn't get the rest of the bag wet. It's really just a terrific, terrific bag. And it looks really good. I kind of like the squarish design. I like more of a rectangular look on my backpack. And I don't care for the teardrop look as much as I do something that's a little bit more squared off. And it holds everything that I need. So it holds the little camera compartment. I put the ZF in there with the 26 millimeter lens on there. And then I also have the 28-400. I have the 24-50 in there. I have my little cable bag, you know, with all my little stuff in there. All the little goodies that I need fit in the bag very comfortably. And I still have room if I want to stash some snacks or a lunch or anything like that, an extra jacket. I can cram all that in there and still only 18.5 liter. So that's not bad at all. It fits under the seat when I'm flying in front of me, which is really nice. Fits in those little, they never seem big enough overheads on a bus, right? I guess they're made for briefcases or something. My normal backpacks won't fit up there, but the 18.5 fits up there when I'm in the cab, fits comfortably next to me when I'm in a restaurant. I just put it down between my feet and it's not too big. You know, that whole thing. Everywhere I go, it works. So anyway, my tip for today, and I'm thinking about this stuff because I just finished packing for the trip. And in fact, as soon as I finish recording this podcast, I'm loading up the car. I'm that close to going. So that's probably why this is top of mind. But my tip for the day is if you do want to travel light and not overpack, then start with the bag and work backwards. Here's an article on Pedapixel. I have a link in the show notes, and it says, no, this viral goodbye Meta AI post won't protect your photos. I thought this was pretty interesting. Let me read it to you. Hundreds of thousands of people have fallen for a hoax that claims to deny Meta the right to use their photos for training the company's AI. Since early September, social media users have been sharing the same post about wanting to protect their data and photos from being used by Meta AI. The message, which is most often shared on Instagram stories, falsely claims that whoever shares the post can legally bar Meta from using their data and photos. However, in reality, the viral post does not protect people or their images from the parent company of Instagram, Threads, and Facebook. The post, which features black and white text, begins with the words, "Goodbye, Meta AI." The message continues, claiming that based on advice from an unnamed lawyer, Meta is not authorized to use individuals' data or images because they shared this post. Sounds like a good way to get a lot of shares, doesn't it? Quote, if you do not post at least once, it will be assumed you are okay with them using your information and photos, the post reads. It goes on, I do not give Meta or anyone else permission to use any of my personal data, profile information, or photos. However, this statement has no legal validity. Sharing it won't protect a person, their data, or their photos. Many of these posts have now been labeled as false information, and users are directed to report on Lead Stories, one of Meta's third-party fact-checking sites. Quote, does posting a statement ensure that users of Meta services will not have their data used in Meta's artificial intelligence training? No, that's not true, Lead Stories says. The third-party fact-checking site says that the viral post is an example of copy pasta, text containing information that is often not true, which is repeatedly copied and pasted online. Then they go on how to opt out of Meta AI. So if you want to learn more about that, then go to the story. Like I said, I have a link in the show notes, and you can read about the steps, how to actually opt out. Remember, once upon a time, I mean, these were big when I was in high school and stuff. Remember the chain letter? The chain letter, that I thought that was fascinating. You would receive this chain letter, and if you made 10 copies of the chain letter and distributed it to 10 different people, then whatever good fortune was in the chain letter would come your way. But some chain letters, they were kind of evil. They said, well, if you don't do it, then, well, you know, we're not responsible for what happens to you. I don't know if you remember those things, but this article reminded me of a chain letter when I was in high school. I hated those things. By the way, I never did one chain letter, and I received a bunch of them. I never participated in one chain letter ever, never. And stuff bad happened to me, but I don't think it was because of the chain letter. I think it's just because, well, I was a doofus back in those days. No, this viral goodbye Meta AI post will not protect your photos. You have been warned here. I want to mention that Skylum launches Aperty, a portrait editor with AI offering and fast results. Just read you a little bit about it. This is an F-stopper story. I have a link to it in the show notes. I took a look at this. It is interesting. Let's see what they say. Skylum, who made quite a splash in the image editing space with Luminar, then Luminar Neo, is setting out to conquer portrait photography editing with Aperty. The company says it's aimed at professionals and serious near professionals, and it will be available on November 7th. Formerly known as Project Barcelona, Skylum says Aperty sets a new standard for next generation of portrait retouching tools. By combining advanced AI technologies with state-of-the-art features, Aperty delivers unmatched precision and natural-looking results, making it the ideal choice for professional photographers who value time and quality. And it has all sorts of features here: face mesh, face and body segmentation, cutting-edge synthetic data set generation, skin smoothing, blemish removal, face body skin color correction, studio light, presets and LUTs, masking, and makeup. So this writer gave Aperty a spin. He says, I'm not a portrait photographer, spending most of my time on landscapes, but I found using Aperty a good experience. Icons are arranged pretty much in the order that matched my workflow, starting with cropping, basic image tools that you'll find on other editors like white balance, exposure, highlights, curves, saturation, sharpening, etc. The next deals with faces and bodies in your image, so blemish removal, freckles, skin smoothing, skin correction, dark circle removal, face brightening, and skin shine removal. Then there's all sorts of stuff for like to enlarge or whiten eyes, adjust the mouth space, apply makeup in post, you know, stuff like this. So he talks about that stuff. Let me just go to the bottom here and see what his bottom line is. Aperty looks like a powerful program, and the AI technology and batch processing are going to be a real time saver for wedding photographers and others. What he liked, even in beta, app performed well on an M3 Mac laptop. It's easy to use, especially if you're familiar with Luminar Neo. There aren't many photographers who will use every tool, or even most of them, on every portrait, but they're there if you need them. What could be better? I just hate subscription plans. I know the software companies like the revenue, but I really like to own my own software. While powerful, I think Aperty is pricey. So what is the price here? From October 1 until release date, Aperty is available at an early bird price, a one-year subscription plus 1 year free for $199. After the launch on November 7th, Aperty will be available at $29.90 for a 1 month subscription or $299 for a 1 year subscription. All plans include the latest version, 24/7 technical support and activation on up to 2 devices. All right, there you go. So if portraits are your thing, right? Or you want them to be your thing, then this might be something you take a look at. I'm going to Colorado right now to shoot landscapes, so I'll just put a bookmark here and come back to it later. All right, here's a fun one. At least it was fun for me, and I'm going to file this article under oops. And this is on Digital Camera World, and I have the link in the show notes. Let me just read you a little bit about this. This kind of made me smile a little bit. Celebrated photographer Stephen Shore walks out of his lecture after Chinese audience proves more interested in their phones. Have you ever been distracted by your phone when visiting something important? Well, this week, renowned American photographer Stephen Shore abruptly left a lecture he was giving at the Central Academy of Fine Arts in Beijing after observing several audience members more focused on their mobile phones than on his presentation. There's a video. It can be seen that Shore is answering some questions from the audience before he begins to walk out of his own lecture, stating, "Just before you ask that question, I'm going to say something, and I apologize in advance because it's going to be rude," Shore said from the stage. "But it's something that's been on my mind as I experience the modern world." He then expressed his frustration with the audience, questioning why people would attend a lecture only to spend time on their phones. He goes on to say, "Since we're talking about attention, I think we understand each other," Shore remarked, "and I think you understand the value of attending to daily life. I saw at least a dozen of you who spent the entire lecture looking at your phones. You've come here. You've come here to hear a talk, and you can't even pay attention to who you've come to listen to. How can you pay attention to the food you eat or feel the sun on your skin?" That's what he said. After a brief silence, the audience responded with applause. Shore then concluded, "I think this is a good place to stop," before standing up and exiting the stage. Here's the oops part. According to Shine, one attendee later claimed that there had been a misunderstanding, explaining that most people were using their devices to take notes during Shore's talk, titled, "Five Experiences That Transformed My Life and How They Inspired Me to Become an Artist." Shine also reported that Shore was informed of the note-taking afterward and felt better about the situation. Did he really feel better, or was he slightly embarrassed for walking out? I just think that that's a little bit of a hoot, in the sense that I get what he's saying. You know, no one wants to be on a stage talking about something that you've prepared and worked hard on, to see people looking at their mobile phones. But if indeed most people were taking notes on their mobile phones trying to capture what he said, that's kind of a different thing, isn't it? Anyway, I do file this under the oops category for Stephen Shore. One last story here I want to talk about before we get on to our Virtual Camera Club news. This is on phototraces.com, and I just thought it was interesting. I feel like this might be a bookmark piece. It's called 21 World Famous Photographers and Their Photos. And the author did a lot of work on this, and there are actually 21 world-famous photographers with good information about them, lots of pictures. I mean, it's a pretty cool piece. I'll just run through some of them here. Number one, Ansel Adams, of course, right? In a lot of pictures and a little video. Number two, Henri Cartier-Bresson. At number two, one of my favorite photographers for sure. Philip Halsman, number three. I mean, these are in lots of photos again. I'm just rolling through this list here. Some pretty good stuff. Man Ray is on this list. I never really warmed up to Man Ray as much as I wanted to. I always wanted to really like his work. I do respect his work, but never fell in love with it. It's really interesting. Ouija is here, who I think is just a terrific kind of paparazzi type, known for his uncanny ability to reach crime scenes quickly. He was named after the Ouija board. That's pretty cool. Marielle Mark is on the list. Oh, gosh darn, one of my favorites there. Robert Capa, excellent, another fantastic photographer. And I mean multiple photos of each of these. Give you a couple more. I think you get the idea by now. Dorothea Lange, Sally Mann, really good stuff. This is a terrific list, a good reference piece, and just really a nice way to refresh yourself with these photographers, these important photographers from our century. And of course, this is on phototraces.com, and I have a link to it in the show notes. All right, let's take care of a little virtual camera club news. I want to give a big shout out to our Inner Circle members. I'm going to be seeing some of you here, like very soon, which is always fun. I just love, it's great having the online site. It really is. And I would not trade that for anything, our Inner Circle space. But then to get to spend a week with you guys and gals, that's even better. That's frosting on the Inner Circle cake. Inner Circle members, of course, get discounts to all the workshops, and we're working on next year's season right now. In fact, I have a discussion on our Inner Circle site with people sharing ideas and giving me recommendations, and I'm taking this all in. I'm drinking it all in and going to try to come up with what I hope is a dynamite workshop season for 2025. And lots of input from our Inner Circle members on that. If you're interested in joining this group that is very much knee-deep in everything the digital story, then all you have to do is click on the Patreon tile that's on all the pages of the digital story. You can nose around there a bit. Once you sign up, I'll send you an invite to our Inner Circle space on Derek Story Online, and that's where all the action is. I hope you join us. In my opinion, if you're smart, you will join us before the workshop season gets announced, because you will save more on one workshop than your dues are for an entire year. Just saying. Big thanks to our Inner Circle members for supporting this community. I also want to give a shout out to our friends at Red River Paper. Oh, man, I wanted to print so much this week. I really did. But I just could not. You know, when you have a week that you have to compress, it's a getaway week, still kind of cleaning up from Alaska and then getting ready for this workshop coming up, Durango. And of course, I have a bit more responsibility for the second workshop. Anyway, I wanted to print and just could not squeeze it in. So it looks like it's going to be double printing when I get back for both Durango and Alaska. That's going to be a lot of fun. I have plenty of paper. My ink supplies are up. I'm ready to go. Now I just need to set aside a little time. If you don't have your paper supply up, then you're not going to print. That's just the way it is. If you don't have paper, you're not going to be printing. So why not get some paper now? Get it in your studio. Get it in your office. Get it wherever you have your inkjet printer. And then that way, when you have a little time and inspiration strikes, then you can make some beautiful fine art prints on Red River Paper. They're the longest running sponsor of the Digital Story. They have a tile on all the pages of the Digital Story. You can click on that Use the code there to get free shipping. Get some paper, make some prints, be ready to go. And a big thanks to Red River Paper for supporting this podcast. All right, it's going to do it for me this week. I hope you enjoyed the show. I'm off to Durango. But I'll have more great stuff for you next week. Until then, get out there, take some pictures, stay safe. See you next Tuesday. Bye-bye now.